Welcome to the Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. From the beloved, critically acclaimed New York Times bestselling author Colm Tobin comes a moving and intense novel of secrecy, misunderstanding, and love, the story of Ailish Lacey, the complex and enigmatic heroine of Brooklyn, Tobin's most popular work 20 years later. The new novel is Long Island. Long Island is about longings unfulfilled, even unrecognized. The silences in Ailish's life are thunderous and dangerous, and there's no one more deft than Colm Tobin at giving them language. This is a story of a woman alone in a marriage and the deepest bond she rekindles on her return to the place and people she left behind, to ways of living and loving she thought she had lost. Colm Tobin is the author of 11 novels, including The Magician, The Master, The Testament of Mary, and Nora Webster, as well as two story collections and several books of criticism. The latest is Long Island. I always am so excited when I get to spend time with him and talk about his work, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Colm Tobin to this week's book show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. It's really nice to speak to you. Thank you very much. This is a beautiful novel, and I'm very anxious to talk to you about it. My understanding is, if I had asked you about this 10 years ago, this would have been the last thing you were thinking of doing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, it's been a long time. I never even promised myself not to write a sequel to Brooklyn. It never occurred to me. And there was really no pressure, I have to say, from publishers. You know, that it was just, I thought the book was there in a way, like a lot of the 19th century novels, like Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. If a sequel came to it, it really would destroy the actual original book. So I didn't do anything until I got an idea, which was a very sharp, big image. And I thought, if I could put this at the very beginning of a book, I would then spend the rest of the book, you know, it would be a sequel in a way to the first three pages of the new book. So that's what I got, and that's what I did.
The beginning of it is that there is a knock on the door, and there is someone there to see Ailish and to tell her that her husband, Tony, who was such a part of the first novel, Brooklyn, has impregnated his wife while he was working on their property. And when his wife gives birth, they're going to drop the baby off on the doorstep. That is like that rocks you right away. But one of the things I thought that was so fascinating is that you don't play with the idea that this may not be Tony's baby. That's always just assumed.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way the man speaks to her. If he were American, she would have no idea how to read him. But because he's Irish and she's Irish, men like that don't make things up and don't make idle threats and don't, you know, in other words, it doesn't occur to anyone because of the way the man speaks, and also because of the fact that Tony doesn't deny it. And so, yeah, we're left. I suppose it is a possibility, but it isn't one that anyone takes seriously. In any case, the man intends to drop the baby up and deposit it on her door. This is before DNA tests, so there's nothing anyone can do.
I was really surprised when Tony fesses up to it, because I thought, oh, well, he still has the out of saying what you would assume most people would say, oh, that's not mine, which is the story we always read. And this is so different, because he's like, yeah, this happened.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not in a position to deny that he had an affair with the wife, because he doesn't know what the husband said to Ailish.
Right.
So he is really caught. I mean, there's nothing he can do other than just, he can't say, well, the baby is not mine, but, you know, so all of them accept the idea that this baby is going to be a problem for them.
When you use the word accept, the acceptance part of this is really interesting, because Ailish is very quick in that she is not accepting this premise that this baby is going to come to her house and live under her roof with her family.
Yeah. In other words, what she's saying is, If you think that because I have two teenage children, that I'm going to start again getting up in the night with a crying child who's not mine, who has got nothing to do with me. In other words, it's an argument over family and individuality. Tony's mother is saying, well, if this baby is given to us, if it's Tony's baby, it's ours. And Ailish is saying, no, it's not mine. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm not taking this baby into my house. And the mother-in-law has a different view. And they and so you're talking about two notions of family, or two notions of what the duties and responsibilities of a family are.
It is a really interesting dynamic because we learn something that has happened in the intervening 20 years, which is that there does seem to be a respect between the two women, between Eilish and her mother-in-law. There is not this is not a fraught relationship, although this is certainly a there this is certainly a cog in the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to make this into a novel about a bad mother-in-law, so you have to be very careful with that because it's such a cliche. So the mother-in-law in this is of Italian origin, and she's very wise, and she tends to look after things very, very carefully. Her grandchildren love her, and she it isn't as though she comes into the house and interferes in any way, but there is a sense that Ailish doesn't fit in, to the family in full, and there are moments when all of them are having, say, a big lunch together, where she does feel that she's a ghost at the table, that they don't really, as long as she fits in, they don't really care what she does or says, until she says something they don't agree with, And so when she says something about the Vietnam War, they just go, well, that's not, that's not our view, so it couldn't be anyone's view.
And she's told by the mother-in-law, you don't have to come to the lunches anymore. You don't, what, wouldn't you be more comfortable staying home? Wouldn't it be nicer for you if you didn't have to deal with that?
She does something that none of them has ever thought of doing, where she disagrees with her father-in-law. And it's not that he's a big monster, but that he just isn't used to the idea of a younger woman telling him that she has a different view than he does, and doing so vehemently and cogently. So when that happens, one of their brothers-in-law just says shush to her, like meaning like just stop talking. To go be quiet, you, he says to her. And the mother-in-law comes over very sweetly and says, it just struck me recently that maybe we're all too much for you. There's too much talking, too much interruption, too much. And that wouldn't you love a quiet Sunday? And of course, English would love a quiet Sunday. And so she gets what she wants, but her daughter, who's a teenager, thinks it's all very wrong. That's a sort of punishment for disagreeing, for speaking out. And so it's slightly awkward, but I didn't want to make a major rift in the family. I didn't want to make an ogre out of the mother-in-law. So it's just a small moment. These moments, I suppose I was trying to get an idea of accretion, that you add small moment to small moment to get the idea that Ailish really has no, I suppose peer group might be the word, that she's no close friends, that she's devoted her life so far to raising her children. And she's done so, it seems, very successfully, in that they're seem two very happy, contained teenagers.
And that moment comes 20 years into the relationship. It's not something that's coming months or a year or two after. It's coming after a very long relationship, and quite frankly, after the children are pretty much grown.
Yeah, she has to ask him. It's one of the questions she needs to know. Is this the first time? Is this happening all the time now? And he swears to her, this is in the dark, this is when they're in bed at night. He swears to her, no, this is really, really the only time this has happened. And she sort of believes him, but it really does make a big difference to her, in that the only thing she depended on in a way was the, I suppose, the sort of, I suppose that the house, the domestic space she's in, is both safe and trustworthy. And it turns out not to be.
In Brooklyn, so much of the story was Eilish coming from Ireland, going to Brooklyn, falling in love, going back to Ireland for her sister's funeral, and then getting into a relationship, and then leaving suddenly and coming back to the United States. All of that plays a part in this novel, but what's really interesting is how Eilish's children react to the story and learn of the story and try to understand the motivations of not only their mother, but of their father as well.
Yeah, that I suppose that whole idea of what it means to cross the Atlantic either way, in that you gain things, you lose things, certain experiences that mattered in Ireland will crumble when you go to the United States. Other things, including close relationships, don't seem as close when you're back home in your old bedroom, in your mother's house, and America seems very far away. So I suppose that those distances cannot be really be measured in miles. They have to be measured in some other way, which is really what the novel is about, I think.
Tolem Tobin is our guest on this week's book show. The name of the new novel is Long Island. I love the name of the novel because most of the novel does not take place in Long Island.
Yeah, that she's an immigrant. It's the same as Brooklyn, that she arrives in a place and she gets a domestic space. So the two or three rooms she lives in matter to her more than anywhere else. They are her castle, but they are also her country. And all around is a hinterland. She doesn't experience Brooklyn, for example, when she goes there first in any way that someone who was born there, who was living there might. So it's that whole idea of being an outsider in a place. You can name the place, but you can't own the place, or you can't be from the place. That happens to the next generation.
When you decided that that Eilish was going to then go back to Ireland, did you, I guess for us, the reader, we're not sure if this is going to be a short visit or a long visit. And I'm wondering, I assume you knew.
I did. I mean, it's a summer novel in the sense that, it really starts in about April and it has to end by the end of August for various reasons, that are in the novel. So, yes, I saw it very much as you see, to get the tension I need, to get the drama, there has to be a deadline. There has to be a week by which a lot of things have to be decided. And after that, they can't be decided. And so, yes, I always knew that it was going to really be the end of August in 1976, that they would have to make some decisions.
Which is fascinating because it's 20 years. I mean, a lot of this could have been dealt with in the intervening two decades.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's not how life works.
No, in other words, it's important that the children are grown up because I then can give the children voices. I can have Larry going around the town, of Enniscorthy into pubs. I couldn't have had that, say, where it said 2 years earlier. So therefore, it's very important that the children are grown up. And to do that, I had to let the years pass.
The writing of Enniscorthy is so beautiful and the description of this place. And I'm interested in what it was like for you to choose it and to know it so intimately, or it could have been elsewhere in Ireland, but this is where you chose.
No, it couldn't have been anywhere else in Ireland. That it's very much what you said first, that it's the town is essential. It's a sort of living being. And the difference between the way the town is treated in the novel, Long Island, and the way Long Island is treated, because she's an outsider in Long Island. She knows certain places and not others. But in Enniscorthy, every street name, every shop owner, every name of every shop has memory for her. And therefore, it's essential it's that town, because 1976 was probably the last year where I was in the town all that summer. I know what pubs people went to. I know what people were wearing. I know what people were talking about. And that's probably the last summer that I could say that. After that, I was away. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's Enniscorthy, and it's emphatically that summer.
I live in a small town, and I was just struck because you can't get away with much in a small town. And these characters certainly can't get away with much. They probably get away with more than I would have thought they would have gotten away with. But they're going out of their way to go down different roads and different paths and in different parts of the beach. So they're away from prying eyes.
Yeah, I think any group of friends, actually, it's very hard to get away with anything much. But yes, a small town has all that idea of what I was trying to establish first was that they believe at one point in the book that the night after about 1 a.m., the streets of Enniscorthy are more or less empty. The pubs generally close at 11, half 11. By 1 a.m., people have gone home and the streets, especially in midweek, and that you can therefore do anything you want. You can go from one house to another without being seen. So I wanted to establish that first and then see what I could get from that. So while yeah, as you say, there are surprising moments where they do seem to get away with more than they might.
I want to ask you about Jim, who Eilish reconnects with in the novel upon her return to Ireland. And Jim's such an interesting character. Tell us about Jim and the relationship with the pub, because it, as a result of the first novel of Brooklyn, this seems to be really all he has.
Yeah, and it's a small pub, meaning that the owner is the manager and the owner has to be there all the time, especially on a Saturday night. Saturday night, when he's in his 20s and 30s, is the night when people go out dancing and go out with their friends. He can't do that. Now, this may be an alibi. This may be just some way of him to justify the fact that going into his early 40s, he's still not married and he still has no relationship in his life other than the relationship with the pub. Yeah, I wanted to make that something that happened almost naturally. He was let down by a few girls. I mean, a few girls had really behaved badly to him and he felt humiliated. And so he just settled down into this very uncomfortable sort of middle age. And so I catch him at that moment. He's about 45 years old, unmarried, solid, reticent, hardworking, and seems very decent. And I was interested in what could be done with somebody like him in a novel.
What is it of what can be done with him? So one of the things that's done with him is that he starts to forge a relationship with Nancy, who played a role in the first novel, was Eilish's dear friend. And now those two are forging a relationship, which is interesting again, because this is so long after the Eilish left and they were apart. They were left in Ireland and Eilish was gone.
Nancy was married and she was married to George because it was at that wedding,
yes,
you know, 20 years earlier that Eilish had, you know, seen had seen Jim. So yeah, George is dead. So now Nancy's a widow. And that's a very, you know, in a town like Enniscorthy, a widow in her 40s is therefore, you know, she's got a few years to decide how she wants to live. So yes, they've had all the years, but she was married and she was married to a friend of Jim. So in a way, it wasn't on the cards, but now it is.
I enjoyed this part because you mentioned earlier that Eilish's mother-in-law, you didn't want her to be a stereotypical mother-in-law, but man, Eilish's mother is a pip.
Yeah. I mean, you see, I also wanted the mother to do something that I have seen mothers do, which is be incredibly rude to her child and be incredibly sweet to everybody else. So the minute the grandchildren arrive, the mother changes. So, you know, it isn't as though she's permanently rude or she's got very bad manners or she's tactless. It is as though she's in some sort of rage with Eilish over the years being away, over not coming home before. She's just not ready to say, all I've been waiting for 20 years is you, darling, a big hug. It just doesn't happen like that. And so, yes, yeah, she's a complete item at the beginning, but slowly she softens and changes, especially when the grandchildren come. I think especially the granddaughter really stays with her and the two of them together become a different way for the novel to be, where you have a lot of peace and harmony. And then the son, Larry, Eilish's son, I mean, the job of Larry is just to make everyone laugh.
There's some great humor in Eilish's arrival of just getting her mother new appliances and working on the house and trying to bring her up to date, as it were, and that's not something that she instantly gravitates
I think again,
to.
It's a very Irish story that you go home having been in Dublin or New York or Paris or somewhere, and you go back into your mother's kitchen or your family house and you say, you know, you really need to get a new fridge or you really need to get a new something. And the mother looks at you and says, so that's what you've come back to tell me. Like, is that what I've been doing wrong all the years? And so it's a subject of great friction. Like you could say the mattress on my old bed really needs to be changed. You should never say that because it causes offense. And so you learn after your first few visits, don't tell the curtains are frayed or the carpet is mothy. Just don't say those things. But Ailish, in the jet lag of arrival and not having been home for all the years, decides to buy her mother without consulting her.
Colm Tobin is the author of the new novel, Long Island. It is published by Scribner. You mentioned the relationship between the two, and I'm also wondering about, there was friction between the two in the first novel in Brooklyn. It was, that relationship was, had its moments, and this was a, I would say, a stern woman that played into it. What does that mean for your process of writing this, especially 20 years later, of going back to the source material, if you will, and reacquainting with that?
I didn't really pay that much attention to the source material, in that I took what was in my mind and went with it. But it wasn't as though I was constantly going back to the earlier novel. I was aware of it, but it was more or less the characters were in my head enough for me to work without having to worry too much. I do know that the mother in Brooklyn, Ailish's mother, is a much milder, sadder figure. But what I wanted to suggest was that in the 20 years between the ages of, say, 60 and 80, that something had hardened in her heart and that she just wasn't ready to be welcoming. So it's, that she's the one, I think, who's changed most. And Ailish also, I think, in the 20 years between the two novels, has become sharper. She's become more articulate. But I mean, what I was trying to do was write another novel with the same characters rather than, you know, take up where I left off before.
It must feel as if she was abandoned by her daughter.
Yeah, that in towns like that, in those years, it was uncommon for a widow who had daughters to live on her own. She would go and live with one of the daughters, or one of the daughters would stay unmarried and live with her mother. That is changing around now. But certainly when Ailish left first, leaving her mother alone, that would not have been normal in a town like that, that a woman, you know, a widow like that would not be left alone. So that's really what's biting her mother.
And there's really two instances of abandonment. I don't want to give too much away in the even about the first novel, but she leaves to go to the United States. She comes back because of the death of her sister, and then leaves again. So the mother is really abandoned twice.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the idea in Brooklyn is that Rose, the older sister, sends Ailish to America, so that Rose will be the one to stay with her mother, you know, thus protecting Ailish from being what often would happen. The younger daughter would stay with her mother. And, you know, by the time her mother died, it would be too late for her because, I mean, you know, the second chances didn't come that easily in those years. And this second novel, Long Island, is really a novel about second chances and the possibility of second chances. Nancy getting a second chance, Jim getting a second chance, and perhaps even Ailish getting a second chance, and the mother, Ailish's mother, getting a second chance, because, of course, her grandchildren really do transform.
Again, without giving anything away, how definitive did you want the ending to be?
Oh, I think it's pretty clear what has happened. I didn't want to go into every single detail about it, but I think it's pretty clear.
And I ask the question because it does, you do wonder, oh, will you write about these characters again?
It was 15 years between writing one and starting the other. Now I'm 69 later this month. And so I will be 84 the next time. And wish me luck, you know.
Well, are those times firm in the sense of, like,
no,
you could write it now if you wanted
no,
to?
No, I could. No, I couldn't. And that's not how it works. What happens is an idea comes to you and you think that's awful. It comes back again in a different form. And you think, I wonder if I could do anything with that. And then it comes to you as a sentence. Now, this has to happen all on its own. Once that happens, then you have to work. But you can't force a novel. If you force a novel, you end up abandoning it because there's something wrong with it from the beginning. Its rhythms or something. That's just so, no, you can't predict this. And yeah, it could be 84, it could be more.
What I love about you and your writing, though, is that you can bring us a book, Magician. I mean, that's such a different book, such a different novel than this. I love that. That is, and that must be exciting and thrilling for you as an author.
Yeah, I mean, I did The Testament of Mary, which is a short novel written in the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then I think I did The Magician, which is a long novel about the life of Thomas Mann, the German novelist, and so the First World War, the Second World War, the Cold War, all those wars. And then I can move back to this, which is it's a very delicate novel because it's set over just one summer. It really has only got three characters and some side characters. But it isn't, it's certainly whatever it is, it's not panorama, which the Mann novel to some extent was. There's no epic moment in this book. There's no politics, there's no public life. It's a novel about private life. Yeah, so it's nice to be able to do things differently each time.
Do you consider Long Island to be an Irish novel?
Yes, I suppose. But I thought Brooklyn was an Irish novel, and I didn't realize that for Americans, even though people talk about Americans looking to the future all the time, that I understood then that people have this sense that somewhere in my background, in the past, a woman came on her own with a suitcase. And that is somehow part of, I suppose, communal memory in white America. And so the novel became more American after its publication. But I didn't think about it like that. You know, it's very important for me that the character is Eilish is Irish. When the other characters speak, for example, her mother-in-law or even her husband, that they're Italian Americans. There's something still in their voices left over from Italy. There's no one really American in this novel because I have a problem with my ear. You could get one word wrong, just one small bit of usage. Someone say, "We never say that. You just saw it in a movie. You saw it in the Donna Reed show, or you saw it in some, soap opera." But it's very. I've never found an American novelist who could get Irish dialogue absolutely right. Alice MacDiarmid can get Irish American speech totally right, but you'd be very, very careful because it all hinges on one word.
Colm Tobin, the new novel is Long Island. It is published by Scribner. Thanks to our producer, Sarah LeDuc. Write to us at book@wamc.org. The latest on national productions programs is available via the Airwaves newsletter at wamc.org and on social media at WAMC Radio. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.